Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting. We are more than a podcast. We are a community where we help you to raise your teens and parent your 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, and I am here with my co-host, Judy Davis. And today, we are talking about 13 reasons why. We're going to talk about the whole thing, but in particular, we want to talk about season two. And we're going to go back in time a little because I know Judy has a lot to get off her chest about this, right, Jude?
Just a little bit.
We both have had opinions and experiences about this, just like everybody else. It's really the most controversial show that I recall. I'm wanting to say even in my lifetime.
Well, I know that all the reviews and things on Netflix and in a lot of the various different TV places and review places, they are all saying that 13 Reasons Why is actually one of the most controversial things that actually reflect the bad side of a particular demographic, whether that's, you know, for better or for worse, who knows, but it's that raw thing that is so electric for viewers, and it's creating an emotional experience that our teens and, you know, 20-somethings are latching onto. So it's really a very different type. If you've never heard of it or seen it, the show itself is very different than anything else in that it actually does and talks about some of the worst things that could happen in those formative years and goes from there and solves it in a lot of unexpected, dark, and intense ways.
Yeah, and I'm gonna pop in for just a second. I know that as a parent who listens to radio and podcasts and all of that, sometimes I'm listening to it out loud. This is actually an episode. If it was me, I'd put in my earbuds and listen to this one privately. Just a heads up, because I don't know where Judy and I are going to go exactly with this, but I do know where the shows went, and it's very graphic and it's very intense. Mm-hmm. So that's just me personally, Sandy, going, hey, I would pop in my earbuds real quick.
Yeah, especially if you have little ones around. I mean, we're going to be talking about some of the topics here that may not be great for some of your younger kids or
little pictures have big ears.
Exactly.
But so I actually want to go there, Jude. You said some of our listeners may not even really know about 13 Reasons Why. It would be hard to not know it exists, but I know many people didn't watch it. My two girls, we talked about it last year when season one came out, and neither one of them had an interest in watching it. So I want to go back, though, and just give a little bit of background. So this is a Netflix original series.
Right.
And it is based on a book by Jay Asher, and it is the story of a girl who died by suicide, and she left behind 13 audio tapes addressed to different people. And she says in the beginning of the tape, you know, she talks a little, and then she says, if you're hearing one of these tapes, it's basically because you had something to do with her suicide. And then each episode is a different tape. So it's a different person, how their story fits in. And it's the things that happened to this girl, Hannah. And Hannah is, from the outside, if you looked at her without knowing any of this, she just looks like a good kid, a normal high school student. She doesn't look like a kid who would be marginalized or, you know, typically bullied or any of those things. She's our kid, kind of a thing, is what you see there. And so, as you said, Jude, the critics came into it and they talked, you know, like you said, about what it's talking about. But they also said that from an entertainment standpoint, from a movie, a video entertainment standpoint, it is actually extremely well done. It grabs you, it pulls you in, it takes you right along for this ride. It's just the ride itself can be traumatic and is definitely emotional for anybody who watches it.
Exactly. And I think that it being a Netflix show that you can binge watch takes that up a notch as well. If it were something that you had a week in between to kind of digest and process and things like that, but what's happening is that both for season one and now for season two, our teens and young adults are sitting down and literally for 13 hours or 14 hours, however long it is, sitting and being completely immersed into a world that is talking about suicide, sexual assaults, revenge, bullying. It's all intense and it's very dark. I've seen a lot of feedback that, especially with season two,
Can we stick with season one first?
Yes.
In the generals before we get there.
Okay.
Because you and I had different experiences with it, and I would like to talk about that a little.
Perfect.
We've talked about this, and so far I'm like, oh my gosh, we made it sound like this horrible monster. And mm-hmm. I don't think it's a horrible monster. I do disagree with some of the things that they showed. I also agree that season one, from the entertainment standpoint, which that's their job. You know, their job is to provide entertainment. They chose to touch on some difficult topics because they think they need to be talked about. But I think they did a good job. I got pulled into it. I would have to watch multiple episodes going, what happens next? And you just get drawn in. And it is not a happy and fun place to be by any stretch, but I didn't feel, as an adult, I didn't feel traumatized by it.
It's interesting because I did. And mm-hmm. I know that, you know, we have had discussions about how we can both see the value of the conversation that it started. And I think that that's the underlying positive takeaway that we need to have, because the reality is that media, social media, all those things are part of our lives. So how can we use those? I think back when we talked with our sex ed therapist, Kath, and she said that it's really important as parents to use what is part of our kids' lives, from music and TV and things like that, to as education moments. And I think that this 13 Reasons Why, both season one and now, it has that opportunity. So that's the positive takeaway.
Yeah, there's opportunity. That's the key word there, is this is giving us opportunity. Even my girls who chose not to watch it, it still gave me an opportunity to bring it up with them initially. And it also gave me an opportunity to bring up some of these tough subjects because they did not watch it. I sat down to watch. I didn't want to initially. I watched it because of the work that we do, and I felt I needed to know what was happening out there. But like I said, entertainmently, I got drawn in and did some binging, even though some of it was very hard to watch. I do think that even season one was very graphic. I think too graphic. That's a personal opinion. Netflix obviously doesn't agree. But it's still... I could go back to my girls and say, you know, I watched this episode and this is what was happening. Is that really what it's like in school? Have you ever seen anyone had to deal with that? Have you had to deal with this? It really gives you a chance to open some doors through conversations about very difficult topics in mm-hmm. even some of the different difficult aspects of friendship. You know, we talk about bullying and sexual assault and depression and suicide, but even the day-to-day things, there are, you know, what happens to their friends and what happens when you're just having a tough time or if you're just feeling a little off. Those conversations can come from a not quite so personal place to our kids, if that makes any sense. You know, when I approach them, it's not like I'm coming in and going, did you ever just have, you know, this problem in your life out of the blue?
Right.
When I can bring it and wrap it around a TV show, I find it softens it and they talk more.
I can totally see what you're saying. And then I'm going to flip it over, because I had the biggest issue that I had was that I felt that the producers and the creators were very irresponsible in how they handled some particular things. And maybe I'm just overly sensitive, because I know from our son's suicide attempt, I know the place that he was at and things like that. So I'll put that out there, that that's the filter that I'm coming through as. But it felt to me that they were looking at suicide and sexual assault for the drama sake and the headlines. They actually went and, when they showed the suicide scene, they showed it in a way that was so graphic. And the method of suicide that Hannah used was a certain type of cut that most of the time kids do not recover from. Even if they're found, they just can't fix it, which was a very much of a deviance from the book, where she died by overdose. And so I didn't understand why it was so important to show that piece, because they literally, it was a step-by-step process of how to be successful at suicide. I thought that was really irresponsible.
And on that one, I absolutely am in agreement with you, is that it was instructional. And, and the other thing is that, so there's a research base to this. There was such an outpouring from the from adults, from the mental health community, from counselors, from schools, that Netflix actually had research done. They hired Northwestern to do research for them. And that's very interesting. And we're going to write an in-depth blog post on dasium.net, which is another piece of our business that we have. So that'll be coming out soon. So you can go to dasium.net and keep an eye out there for that, where we'll go into more detail on some of those things. But bottom line is, you know, they're looking at the research, and we'll talk about that too. But prior to this, there have been studies done that have shown that asking somebody if they're thinking of attempting suicide, if they're thinking of killing themselves, is a good thing. It, that does not put the idea of suicide into someone's head. That does not increase the suicide rates when that was looked at. But what does increase them is showing exactly how to attempt suicide. And that's what they did here. And there have been studies done that show that that does increase the rates. So to me, aside from the gore and the graphics, and like you said, Jude, they could have shown her attempting suicide, well, actually in her case, completing suicide, in a way that was less potentially lethal, should it be replicated. And they didn't do that. They took something, she dies, she slits her wrists, and she did not do what most people think of in doing a crosscut. She did it in a way that, as you said, Judy, you don't recover from it. Even if you are found, you just bleed out so quickly and it's difficult to fix. So I totally agree with you on that one. And I do think that they were more graphic than they needed to be, even from an entertainment standpoint. They were more, they showed more on screen than they really needed to make a point or to get those conversations going or even to entertain.
Right. The other issue that I had, and I think that we encourage kids and parents in both the Dasium side with our suicide prevention programs and the Mighty Parenting side, helping families understand what to look for and what are the warning signs. The girl reached out to the counselor and wanted help. And really and truly, he dismissed her concerns because she didn't look like she was really in distress or at risk. And it just felt the way that they did that. The message that I took away was, if I'm in real trouble, people aren't going to be able to help me. They gave no hope at all in such an intense show. So,
right. And that continues into season two.
Exactly.
So let's just touch briefly on season two. Season two gets more intense, more graphic. They go through the other characters more. They get into their stories more. So you find out more horrible things that have happened, not just to Hannah now, but to other people. And there is no hope. There's no positive outcome for anyone who has a traumatic situation in their life or someone who's dealing with a mental health issue in that series. Those are the things that they show. And again, as a parent, you need to know that, like we said, this is getting more graphic. This moves totally away from the book now. Season one was about the book. Season two goes into the other characters' stories. And like I said, it is more graphic. It is more intense. And the season finale is, again, a very visual scene of a young man, his head being dunked in the toilet, and then he's sodomized with a broomstick and he's just left there bleeding in a mess on the floor. If you're going to watch it, I think you need to be aware, because one of the other things, of course, that's recommended is, you know, talking to your kids about it. If it's something they want to watch, you know, watching it together. But you need to be aware of what you're getting into when you're doing that. Mm-hmm. And so, Judy, how about, let's go here. I'd like to talk a little, unless you have something else first, but I'd like to touch on some of the things, other things parents just need to be aware of.
Yeah. And one of the things I just want to talk about season two, and just like you were saying, the whole awareness thing, is that Hannah, who committed suicide in season one, is back in a very integral role, where she is actually talking to one of the main characters regularly. And I think that that is another one of those things that I can't even believe they're doing, because it makes it so that suicide is not a permanent thing. It sends that message that so often when kids, backtrack a second here, so often when a kid is in distress or is dealing with suicide ideation, they're really looking for an escape. They can't see another way out of what they're going through and the distress and the horrible feelings that they're feeling. And suicide becomes, they fixate on that is the place that they will get relief, right? And by having her come back in the second season, to me,
as a ghost.
Yeah, as a ghost, but it doesn't look like a ghost.
I know. I agree with you. I'm just saying that's how she's back, because that's not clear for people who haven't seen it.
Right, right. And it's just one of those are the things that it's the subliminal, unconscious messages that we need to be aware of. And like you said, you know, what are the things that we want parents to kind of know about?
Okay, well, one thing is, if I heard this interview before, that would just be like, oh my gosh, you know, my girls aren't watching it. You just want to kind of push it away and go, I don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But even if your kids are younger, and that's one of the things too, I talked to school counselors, and they said that this is definitely a middle school phenomena as well. So middle school, high school, and college. I talked to college students to find out, are people actually watching this? And yes, they are. So this is middle, high school, and college level that kids are really drawn in by it. Because one of the things we need to know is that research I mentioned by Northwestern showed that the kids do identify with it. You know, if you start asking them, do you identify with this? Is this a good reflection of reality insofar as people experience these things? And 70, 80% of kids are going, yes, this is the world and we are enjoying watching it. Now, some of the kids are just enjoying it for entertainment and some are going, yeah, this is life. And like Judy said, so if they're seeing this, they're going to start pulling messages from it. So we need to be aware that the kids identify with it. We need to be aware that they're going to pull messages from it. We also need to be aware that whether you allow it to be watched or not, it's going to be part of your child's experience because people are talking about it, especially right now because season 2 just dropped. So it's huge. Mm-hmm. So you need to be aware of those things. You need to be aware just how graphic these are. And as we said, season 2 is even more graphic than season 1, especially that finale. The other thing is really, really important to be aware of for both yourself, should you even be thinking about watching it, and for your kids, and for anyone around you who is watching it. For people who have experienced trauma, the show can bring that back.
It's a trigger.
It's a trigger, and they can react very badly to these shows. So be mindful of that before deciding to watch. And maybe you think, well, this is no problem and we're good. And, you know, like you said, you know, kids are old enough to decide. My girls are both legal adults. It's their choice if they want to watch it. But maybe they're watching at my house and one of them has a bad reaction or one of their friends has a bad reaction. One thing to be aware of is they may be reacting because they've been traumatized. And if it's your own kid, don't assume they haven't been. I know many adults who have experienced trauma who their parents still to this day don't know about. So just be aware of those things as you move forward with it. And those are things we need to know about. But Jude, we need to talk about what as parents we can do about this. We have to be able to do something besides.
Yeah. As you're sitting back here, you're going, oh my gosh, you know, here's a show that's glamorizing this little girl's decision to end her life and turning it into a made-for-TV drama. And it's not going to be solved in a half hour and leave you feeling good. And the entertainment factor, we can use it as parents. So I just want to kind of talk about that because while it touches on real world problems, we really do need to remember that it isn't reality, and there is sensationalism for the entertainment factor. I liken it often to some of the movies about, you know, just as a military spouse, some of the movies that are do soldiers and battles and things that happened, because it's based in truth, there's facts and things like that to make it feel very real, and bottom line, it is made for film and entertainment. So
that's a conversation we need to have with our kids. What we need to do as parents is talk to our kids about that.
Exactly. And we want to ask our kids, what is being portrayed accurately? And then listen, asking questions and keep listening. It's that back and forth to really understand. Kind of, you brought it up a couple minutes ago. Have you seen this? Has your friends experienced it? Do things happen the way they're portrayed? All those things that you're saying, and then take it that next step further. What scares you about this? Who could you go to? What actions could you take if you found yourself in a situation or a friend found themselves in a situation? Knowing and helping them know what to do before something happens can really, really empower them to be able to act in a situation rather than follow. I think some of the characters, I would get frustrated with that because they kind of just went, I can't do anything about it, because they didn't understand what was going on. And helping our kids understand when they feel depressed, or while you're watching this, how do you feel? One of the feedbacks that I got was someone got physically ill after watching the final episode. And it was interesting because I thought, wow, what a great thing to talk about our kids, you know, to talk to our kids about. This made me feel this way. And then ask, how would it make you feel?
I really like this, Judy. And the other thing is, you know, in these, some of these questions that you're talking about, I think having this conversation can also deal with those undertone messages. I don't want to say subliminal, because that's not the correct term, but the ones that are maybe not so overt, because if we ask them things like, you know, what have they seen of this? Does this happen in the real world? How is it different than real life? They'll start to see where the things aren't real. And then having a plan in place ahead of time, just knowing that when I'm in trouble, and when, you know, as a teenager, if I'm in trouble, if I'm stressed out, if life is horrible, I don't have to try to come up with somebody to go to. I already had this conversation with my mom or my dad, and I said, I can go to, you know, Uncle Joe, or I can go to my school counselor is great, or I can go to my pastor or my priest, or I can go to this neighbor or this family friend. But to have named that person, I really, really like having that plan in place. When life goes sideways, who can you go to? If you didn't, you know, and hopefully we all hope that it's us as parents. But the truth is that for some reason, kids don't feel that way for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. They don't always feel that they can, even when you have a really good relationship. So that backup plan is a great idea.
Exactly. And one of the other things too, is I think this show gives us the opportunity to actually talk to them about how film and media sometimes don't portray things accurately.
Well, and you brought it up with the Army thing. I just want to jump in there for 1 second again, because we get fooled.
Yes.
Because it is based in that fact. It's based, I remember when Army Wives came out, and I said something to you about it, because I saw a couple episodes, and I'm like, I mean, yes, I realize that some of it is, you know, played up for drama, but it seemed like most of it made sense. Like, this was life. And you're like, oh no, it is not.
Right. And
when we haven't been there, we don't know that.
Right. So there is, you know, using that example, absolutely there are threads of truth. There, that is our reality of deployment and the guys being gone and us being on the home front by ourselves and taking care of everything and raising our kids. And, you know, all of those things are true. And just like in 13 Reasons Why, certain aspects are blown up for drama and glamorized to suck the listener in and the viewer in. So some of the things that conversations that we can talk to our kids, or some of the things that we want to just point out that may be portrayed inaccurately, is the fact that none of the adults, even the parents, were open and available readily all through season one. The counselor dropped the ball. And in a lot of ways, that is just so not true. Yes, maybe a counselor misses the boat once in a while, but really and truly, if a child comes to a counselor, they will do their best they can in that moment to help that child. It will not be dismissed because they're on the phone. It's important to point those out and then transition it to, there is help. If any of these things happen to you or someone you care about, there is always someone that will listen. It may not be the first person you go to, but you don't stop there. You know, kids can reach out in a lot of ways. And if they don't have a person, I know we make it a point with our resources that there are national text lines and call lines that have people that can listen and help. So Sandy, tell us a little bit about our cards that they can get to help with that.
We fully believe in being proactive and building our lives in a way that us, our kids, our families, we can be happy and emotionally healthy. We also believe in building in those plans for when life goes sideways. So one of the things that we've created are their little wallet cards. They fit inside a wallet, or you can take a picture of it to put it on your phone. And on one side, you have some reminders of healthy coping strategies for stress. And the other one has reminders for coping strategies for anxiety. But on the backs of both cards are phone numbers. Well, first is the stop. Do I need to call 911? And we actually walk you through the, if this, 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 or this is happening, just call 911 right now.
Exactly.
And then there are contact numbers that you can reach out to at any time, just saying, I am feeling all these things and I don't know what to do with it. Or I am feeling like I can't find a way out. I'm thinking about killing myself. You can text or you can call those, and you can text or call on behalf of someone else. So you can give it to your kid and say, hey, if you ever feel like you don't have someone to go to and you're having emotional turmoil, you can use these. And if you're with somebody else who has that happening, you can reach out on their behalf. You can text and say, hey, I'm here with a friend and this is what's happening. Or you can call and say, I'm here with a friend and this is what's happening. And we have those cards available in the stores at both mightyparenting.com and dasium.net. So at either place, you can purchase some of those and then just give them to your kids. I make mine take pictures of them and put them on their phone. I have pictures of it on my phone so that if I'm ever in a situation, I have those numbers available for anybody who would need them.
Exactly. And that's so good. And I know we're getting close to running out of time. And I just want to give you one more little tidbit that I would suggest you talk to your kids about. Because one of the things that the show doesn't, in either season, one or two, it doesn't look at the fact that people heal after trauma. And we know for sure people do heal and people recover and get the coping strategies they need to deal with their mental and behavioral health challenges like depression and addiction. It happens. And the National Mental Health Association says more than 80% of the people who get treatment, it actually helps alleviate some of that pain that they're feeling. So without exception, I want to say that if your child, whether they're triggered by this, can relate to it, or just it's a way in a conversation that you have about it that you uncover that your child is having some of these feelings or anything, help is available. And we have, it's one of the reasons why we wrote warning signs, because I was clueless of what to look for. And I found over the years that so many people and parents are the same. They don't know what to look for. What are the early warning signs or at-risk behaviors? So we have that resource too, in the same place that we have the cards. So, you know, it's one of those things that while there's some things wrong with this series, and I can't even believe they're already talking about season three, but that's a whole other thing. There is something good that we can take out of it as parents. We can have the conversations. We can discuss some of this stuff. And I'm just hoping that because we are doing that, we're actually going to not only save lives, but give kids relief because they need it. If they're relating to this, we need to step it up and really give them the coping strategies and support that they need to deal with all that's going on in their lives. Because in some ways, and I think that that's one of the stressors that I have about this, or the disturbingness that I have, is that so many of our kids are relating to such dark and intense content that it makes me sad. It really does. But I know we can do stuff about it.
I'm going to wrap up here. So basically, just be aware. It's out there. It's on Netflix. And your kids are going to have access to it. If they want access, whether you want them to have it or not, they can have it. So be aware of it. Be aware that it is entertainment. It is also more than entertainment. And it's a social trend. Be aware that the shows are graphic, they're intense, and they can trigger trauma in anyone who watches them. be aware that there are underlying messages that are not true. The messages that you don't recover from trauma. It almost makes it look like this is all anybody experiences anymore is trauma. And no, there is no hope. Make sure that you are aware that those messages are there. And then do the same thing that we have to do with everything else with our kids. Talk to them about it. Talk about whatever you need to do. We have all those questions that Judy ran through, which we'll have a list of in the show notes on mightyparentingpodcast.com. So you can look at those there. And remember that there are resources and help for you too. Those same phone numbers are there for you that were there for your kids. So We're going to wrap this up and we are going to take just a couple of seconds here to take a breath and then we will dive into real talk.
But instead of us approaching a new subject today, we want to have you go out and have a real talk with your child right now. So in the next 15 minutes, figure out if you can't talk to them right now, take a moment and find a time in your schedule that you can go sit down and have a real talk with your child and address this series, where they're coming from and what their experience is, so that you know if it's time to sit down and watch it with them or just have a conversation because they've already seen it and may have questions.
And we want to thank you so much for joining us for this episode. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share, especially this episode. We'd love to get it passed around just so parents know what's going on. If this was your first time listening in, welcome. This was a heavy one, but here at Mighty Parenting, we are more than just a podcast. We are a community that supports one another as we raise our teens and parent our young adults. So you too can become a Mighty Parent. Just visit us at mightyparenting.com and choose the path that works for you. Until next time, this is Sandy Fowler and Judy Davis encouraging you to be a mighty parent. Parenting is the toughest job you'll ever love. It's a common phrase because it's so true. And as the teen years roll around and you start seeing changes in your child and you may start wondering, what's going on? Are they okay? Is this normal? And again, as they move out of the house, go out on their own, go off to college, you see more changes. And sometimes the changes are perfectly normal. And sometimes they're an indication that your child's in over their head, that there are things going on that they can't handle. And the parents' worry and their concern is, how do I know the difference? Well, now there's a book that can tell you. It's Warning Signs, and it is a parenting guide to help you understand about those changes and to help you figure out if your child could be at risk for depression, addiction, or suicide. The book will take you by the hand, walk you through that understanding, give you the confidence to be able to take the next step, to have a conversation or whatever it is that you need to do, and to give you some idea on some of the paths that you can follow. You can go to dasium.net to the store in the shop there and get your own copy.